In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you have obsessive or compulsive tendencies? Do you have repetitive thoughts and patterns of behavior that you have trouble controlling? These might be things such as frequent hand washing, or checking the burners on the stove, or not stepping on cracks in the sidewalk. Lots of people have these tendencies, and they're nothing to be ashamed of. For most of us, our obsessions and compulsions are mild and don't interfere with our daily, everyday lives. But for some people, these things are severe, and they do interfere with their lives. The clinical diagnosis given in such cases is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD for short. When I think about OCD, I think about scruples. Scruples is a word that doesn't get used much anymore. It comes from the Latin meaning a small, sharp stone. In general usage, a scruple is a feeling of uncertainty or concern whether something is morally right or wrong. A person without morals is called unscrupulous. In the church, scruple has a specific meaning, and it's sort of related to OCD. A scruple in theology means an unfounded fear that someone has, that he has committed a sin when, in fact, he has not. A scrupulous person, in the Christian sense, may fear that he has done something sinful that cannot be forgiven and makes him unworthy of receiving Holy Communion, or that there is something he must do, and if it's not done, that would be a grievous sin. Religious scruples might come from an overly legalistic reading of scripture or theology, or they might be results of a psychological disorder such as OCD. I have a scruple of sorts. About 20 minutes before each worship service, I will wash my hands. Now, that, of course, is good basic hygiene. Like the little poem that was popular during the pandemic says, "Wash your hands and say your prayers, because germs and Jesus are everywhere." But my hand washing goes beyond just simple sanitation. I just wouldn't feel right celebrating communion and touching the wafers and the chalice if my hands weren't washed. Scruples and OCD were sort of part of something that I read recently. On the internet, there is a Lutheran group that is dedicated to our traditional liturgy. It's called Gottesdienst, which in German means God's service, what we call the divine service here. In their blog, there was an article about pastors washing their hands before Holy Communion. The concern of the article was not that pastors should sanitize their hands before celebrating. During the COVID days, we all got a little OCD about washing and sanitizing. I still sanitize my hand a couple times before celebrating Holy Communion. Maybe you've noticed, because I try to make it as obvious as possible so that you know that your pastor has clean hands when he's giving you the sacrament. Now, normally, I'm pretty cavalier about infections. As I'm sure I've mentioned many times, I was a microbiologist and spent 7 years working in cancer patients' body fluids. We also kept stock cultures in the labs of things like Salmonella and the bacteria that makes Legionnaires' disease and things even worse than that. If you have a healthy immune system, even most pathogens won't bother you. The chances of anyone catching an infection from a communion wafer is just about nil. No one getting sick has ever been traced back to drinking from the common cup. So what did the Gottesdienst article say about pastors washing their hands before communion? It said that the pastor or an assistant should pour a little water over the pastor's right hand before celebrating communion. Now, there are 1,500 bacteria per square inch on the human hand and fingers. Such a brief, gentle pouring of water without soap or scrubbing does virtually nothing to remove bacteria or foreign substances. Infectious disease experts say to clean hands, we must scrub with soap for the duration of singing Happy Birthday to You twice. The blog also said that the pastor should similarly have his hands washed immediately after serving Holy Communion. Obviously, the big issue here is not about preventing infections. The issue is the pastor not having his grimy human hands touch the pure body and blood of Christ and not having particles of the Lord's body on his hand when he touches people and things after communion. I am sure that the people who celebrate communion with the elaborate hand-washing ritual do so out of a genuine, pious desire to honor Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. Certainly, a pastor and congregation are free to do that if they so choose. But I'm thinking about things a little differently here. I ask, who can touch Christ? How can we touch him? What length will Jesus go to have close contact with us, his beloved people? There are many occasions in Scripture where Jesus himself touched people, including the blind, the deaf, and even lepers, healing them, forgiving them, cleansing them. There are a few instances in Scripture where it says that Jesus is specifically touched by another person. We can safely assume that Mary and Joseph touched the Christ child. Mary of Bethany touched Jesus when she anointed him with oil and wiped his feet with her hair. The ritually unclean hemorrhaging woman famously touched Jesus' garment. In today's gospel reading, the story of the doubting Thomas, we get a glimpse of the glorified risen Christ being touched by one of his disciples. If you search Google Images, you can find some delightfully gory paintings of Thomas putting his hand in Jesus' side. I won't go into details here, but once I had to insert my hand up to above the wrist into someone else's wound. You medical professionals probably do things like that all the time, but for me, it was an experience I'll never forget. John's gospel doesn't record Jesus to touch his hands before, to wash his hands before or after touching him. There were no hand-washing instructions given in how to conduct the Seder. The Gospels do not speak of Jesus washing his hands before the Last Supper. The Pharisees complained that Jesus' disciples ate with their hands unclean, contradicting the tradition of the fathers. Neither the confessions nor the approved hymnals make stipulations about washing your hands before communion. Whether when Jesus touched someone or when someone touched Jesus, there is skin to skin, flesh to flesh contact. Jesus doesn't seem to mind touching and being touched by the unwashed masses that he created out of the dust of the earth. I cannot imagine Jesus demanding that we wash our hands before hugging him, that we feel we must do something to be worthy to touch him has a scent of works righteousness about it. Jesus gives himself freely and fully in the bread and the wine, his body and his blood. He longs for us to receive him, to be a part of him, and for him to be a part of us. Scripture tells us that we are the body of Christ. How far will Jesus go to be joined with us? trip through the human digestive tract is no walk in the park. You've heard it said that you are what you eat. When we eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood, we become the body of Christ here on earth, and his spirit lives in us, teaching us and guiding us with Jesus as our head. A lot of us grew up with the thought that our bodies were bad, that they were dirty and unacceptable to God somehow. Not so. God made our bodies and declared them good. We have bodies so that we can use them to work in God's kingdom here on earth. God blesses us with physical things like food and sports for our enjoyment here as well. And when we live in the new heaven and the new earth, we will not be disembodied spirits. We will have new, glorified, resurrection bodies like the risen Christ. So in our evangelical freedom, we are free to wash our hands before communion or not. If that's someone's scruple or obsession, that's fine. No judgment here. But we can all come to Christ just as we are. Well-conducted liturgy is a powerful proclamation of the gospel, but a fussy fastidiousness about the minutiae of its celebration detracts from our witness by making the sacrament and the clergy appear legalistic, effeminate, and esoteric. We are all about proclaiming and presenting the incarnate Christ. The incarnation, God immersed himself into the grime and grit of the world that he made. In the sacrament, Christ joins himself to earthly elements. We are truly touched by God here, and we, unworthy as we are, rejoice that God allows us to touch him. Amen.